Please enter your account code, false.
Hello?
Hey, Anthony.
Hi there, Joe. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Yes, great.
Great. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'll just go ahead and start here. Actually, several things with what I'm doing with this. First of all, I'm going to make it into a podcast for our website. We have a graduate series and a general podcast series. And we're going to launch an internet-based radio station. I'm going to include this as well for the district.
Okay.
But I saw a notice in the Advocate that you were in town last weekend, and it got me thinking, and I looked for you, and here we are. So just to give you a little backdrop as to how it all happened.
All right.
So how many years did you attend Grandview Schools, and what year did you graduate?
I started going to Grandview when I was in the fourth grade. I graduated class of 89.
Okay. Do you remember any teachers who left a really good impression on you?
Absolutely. Mr. Drummond. Bob Drummond, the band director.
What kind of memories do you have?
All sorts, because I was in a lot of different bands. I was in the marching band, I was in the jazz band, I was in the symphonic band. So, you know, I've got a lot of the primary memories from Bob Drummond is, you know, we always rehearsed a lot. So he's always asking us to do our best, and all the competitions, all the band and music competitions that we attended, we tended to win. So something good came of it.
Absolutely. So any academic memories from teachers you have?
Sure. Lowry Anderson, my English teacher. He's the one that taught us. He's the one that I can actually still remember some of the poetry that he made us memorize. And he's actually the one that taught us how to waltz.
Yeah.
Because he used to have the Kansas City. He used to have an ensemble from the Kansas City Symphony come in for about a couple of years there. And they'd come in and they would perform. They'd bring in a harpist and everything, and they'd do these Viennese waltzes. And we waltzed.
Nice.
Grandview in the cafeteria. It was great.
Excellent. So what extra activities did you do in school?
Extra activities, mainly music, but I started out for soccer and tennis, but that didn't really take. So I pretty much stuck to the band, the extracurricular band activities, because jazz band was not really a course at that time. It still isn't. It. We had the jazz tech class, but other than that, I really only remember the band and music functions. Although I was active in theater as well, but mainly as the performance aspect and also the backstage. I did a lot of work backstage and did a lot of pit work with the band.
Excellent. What did you want to be when you were a kid? What did you want to be when you were when you grew up?
Funny enough, I don't think I wanted to be a musician. I never actually considered being a musician as an idea. I went to college on a piano scholarship, but that was mainly, you know, Mr. Drummond and I were walking through the band room one, I guess it was late in the evening, and we were just leaving for the day, and there was this thing that Northeast Missouri State University had sent him, and posted it up there on the wall. And I remember as we were walking out of the band room, he looked at it and he said, "Hey, that'd be neat." And he pointed to it and I read it, and it said something about, you know, if you win, you get to go to college for 4 years for free. So I was like, oh, okay. So I went out for it and I won the scholarship, and it was a piano scholarship. But when I went to college, I was thinking about being a business major and being a piano minor, but it didn't really work out like that. I wanted to be a business person, go off into politics or something.
Interesting. So how long have you been playing music?
Since I was about 8, maybe 9, and I'm 39 right now, so about 30 years.
When did you start playing?
When or what?
What instrument did you start playing?
First instrument I played was piano. I played piano before I came to Grandview, but while I was in Grandview, I started playing flute at a young age. We used to have this teacher by the name of Bledsoe. I don't know if she's around anymore, but she was our flute teacher. She taught us some different music instruments, and we were active in that was an extracurricular activity as well. And that and Dan Roberts used to do some music as well. So we were taking different music instruments from all of those guys.
So how many instruments do you play?
I don't play all of them, but I play a few. I play most of the woodwind instruments. Only a few of them well. Mainly, piano would be my first instrument, flute would be my second, bass would be my third, bass being electric bass guitar and upright electric bass. I guess after that would be saxophone, and then clarinet, and then oboe, because they all use basically the same method,
right.
The same fingering method. And then after that, it's the brass instruments. Because when we were in college, when I got my master's degree from Truman, as part of the education program, we had to be able to teach all these instruments. So we had to take brass instruments, and we had to take woodwind instruments in order to be able to teach them. The worst instrument I play is trombone. You don't want to hear me play that.
What are your favorite musicians to play with?
Creative ones that listen, because there's some jam sessions that take place up here in Montreal that I really enjoy, taking part in. These jam sessions, you get a bunch of really, really good musicians together. These are the guys that are playing shows and doing recording sessions, and it's a jam session called Calm Unity with a K. That's K-A-L-M-U-N-I-T-Y. You can check that out on the internet.
Okay.
And we get together and we do these jams, and one person will start an idea, then the next person will pick that idea up, and then the next person will pick the idea up, and gradually, as the rhythm section solidifies into a groove, then the singers come on, and then at the same time, the singers are over in a huddle kind of working out what lyrics or what backgrounds or what the attitude of the song is that they're going to sing to. Then a singer will come up and will start singing a line, and it'll follow standard, maybe some standard song form, verse, chorus, chorus, something like that. And the idea is to kind of try to make it sound like a finished product, as if it was actually on the radio or something like that. And that's a nice little way of exercising discipline and creativity, but at the same time listening to everybody else and trying to create one solo project, with everybody else.
Absolutely.
I like working with people that that are able to listen and build off of each other.
Excellent. Now, can you describe why you were in town last weekend, and what is it like when you come back to Grandview to perform?
Sure. The idea is that I came back to Grandview to perform, but that's not actually true. I just came back to see my parents. And just to visit, because I haven't really been around in the United States for a while. But mainly the performance aspect of it is for my church, because up there at First Baptist, I've been a member there since, I guess, 81 or 82 or something like that. And I always get a kick out of performing there. My parents enjoy it when I perform there. A lot of the people there remember me when I was really young, and so they've heard me grow up in the church and playing piano there, so I like to do it for them, and it's a bit of a fun thing for me as well. It's always stressful because I never know what I'm going to play, and I have to work out something and do something special. But it's always a good feeling when it's done, because the people really love it when I do it, and it makes them feel good. And when they feel good, I feel good, because it was the music that I was playing that actually made an impact on them and actually was able to share ministry to them.
Absolutely. Now, what jazz eras moved you the most, and what jazz musicians do you look up to the most?
I'd say Oscar Peterson for piano. I really enjoy, the easy answer to that would be, a lot of people would say, what's typically called quote-unquote traditional or legit jazz, and that's the classic artists like Dizzy Gillespie, Miles Davis, Oscar Peterson, all those jazz legends. But what I enjoy is the fusion of those styles. I enjoy newer jazz, like Lee Ritenour and Dave Grusin, all the things like that. Because I enjoy that contemporary feel to it. You can put a pop groove and be able to play jazz overtones over it. Even though sometimes it can be really, I guess not very valid, I guess, to some people, because, you know, maybe it doesn't follow hold true to the true jazz form or the language. You know, and a lot of that stuff is repetitive, you know, once you start getting into pop grooves and, you know, somebody can just take a hook of a song, you know, just the popular line of the song and then just keep playing it over and over and over again. I don't mind that so much, you know. I think it's valuable to know both styles and understand how they relate, but I would say definitely to start that I enjoyed starting in traditional and legit jazz, but then I enjoy fusing that with other styles like Latin or hip-hop, you know, like Max Roach and Miles Davis was doing later on in his life. Some more fusion, I guess.
Excellent. I noticed it said in the paper that once you became a professional musician, you traveled all over the world. Can you kind of talk to me a little bit about what you've seen and what kind of the things you've done?
Sure. One of the main avenue for those travels, contemporarily, is Cirque du Soleil. I'm a keyboard and bass player for Cirque du Soleil, which is headquartered up here in Montreal. I've been touring with them since, I guess, about 2001. And that's really been the quickest way that I've been, you know, traveling around the world, you know, getting to see and do all these wonderful things. But I was also traveling when once I graduated college in '93 with and in '94 as well with my bachelor's and with I got two bachelor's degrees and my master's degree. Got my master's in education in '94. I worked for Truman State University for about 3 years in admissions and multicultural affairs, so in university administration. After that, I mean, there was a little bit of travel with that, but then after that I moved to New York. And so I was in New York for 5 years as a, you know, working as a musician. And that was my sole business. So I did some traveling. Went to Hong Kong. I was in Hong Kong for the Millennium Change. I've done some national travels, and also with the marching band in high school and in college, we were doing a lot of traveling. You know, we were down all the way down to Florida, we were down in Texas for different things. But with the Cirque, I've done about three national and international tours. I did two national tours in the United throughout the United States, and then I did three tours in Europe. So I was living in Europe for about 3 years, mainly in Western Europe, like Germany, Austria, Switzerland, France, England, Spain, Italy, all sorts of places like that, and also in Belgium. So working and living in those places for long periods of time, of up to about a month each city, gave us an opportunity to really get to know the cities and really get to, you know, find some favorite places to hang, you know, having your favorite fish and chip shop in London, or having your favorite bar to go out to for tapas in Barcelona. Or, you know, I know of several little, especially this little flamenco bar in Madrid that every Wednesday night, you know, some of the musicians from Paco de Lucía, who is a very famous Spanish guitarist, you know, they like to go down there and hang out. So every Wednesday night at this place in Madrid, everybody gets together and they start jamming at 11 and they just go all the way through the night till about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So it's been a benefit of really, really being able to really take part in all of those wonderful things and get to know the people, and also learning the languages. When we're in places that long of a time, it makes it much easier to pick up the language rather than if we're only skipping in there for about 2 days and then we're gone. This enables us to meet people, some people that found girlfriends and even wives and husbands in these places, and I've developed some lifelong friends in some of these places that I still keep in contact with even now, even when I was off the road for a while.
So how long have you been in Montreal?
I've been in Montreal for about the last 3 years, almost 3 years total now.
Okay.
I'm not a Canadian citizen. At this time, I don't really have any desire to be a Canadian citizen, but I am a resident of Canada. So I've been here long enough. I've got my residency. I actually pay taxes here,
wow.
the extremely high tax rate that they have here. So I'm paying my dues there. But I've been here long enough to kind of be established here in Canada.
Excellent. Now, when you come back to Grandview, what are your impressions? Since 1989 to right now, what do you see? How do you feel when you come back?
I feel that Grandview is going through a challenging process right now. It's always nice to go home, and that's always a pleasure. And I was actually talking over this with some old high school friends the other night that I got a chance to see. First of all, when you leave Grandview, people tend to stick in your mind at the same place as when you left. So people that you went to high school, if that was the last time you saw them, then they're frozen in your mind, at when you last saw them. And now when you see all your high school friends growing up with a little bit of white in the beard or in the hair, you know, it's a little daunting, you know, it's a little unusual. So, you know, that's the people aspect. And, of course, our parents are getting older, and all of the people that we knew are getting older, and people grow up, and they have children. Now I have friends that have children that are in high school, high school. And that's unusual, too, looking at their senior pictures, you know, senior pictures of your friends' children when the last time you saw your friends was when they were seniors. But as for Grandview, the city, I see a lot of things are closing, and a lot of things have closed, and I'm not seeing a lot of things taking their place. I don't, you know, every city goes through change and evolution, but one of the things that concerns me is I'm not seeing, like for instance, Bannister Mall. When I grew up, Bannister Mall had just been built. Back in like 86, 89, you know, throughout that time, we used to go up there and hang out all the time, you know, the cinema and, you know, Fun Factory and all those stores in the mall. And when the first thing I noticed when we came over that highway when we were on 435 the other day is when we came over the crest of that hill, I knew the Bannister Mall and I knew that some of the stores were closing, but I was so surprised when I saw, oh, Bannister Mall is gone, you know, and when we came over there. Now, once again, it's okay to take things away, but I really see nothing going in its place, and I don't really hear anything. Maybe, you know, there's talk of, you know, bringing in different businesses and things to the city, but I don't hear more about businesses coming in than I do about businesses that are leaving and about the negative impact that it's leaving upon the society and the economic structure and the economic infrastructure right there in Grandview. So that concerns me a bit because I really don't want to see the quality of life go down in Grandview because it's always been such a wonderful place and beautiful. You know, it's a suburb of Kansas City. Now people are talking about living in the suburbs of Grandview, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm going to switch gears just a little bit here. Who do you admire the most? Who's a hero to you?
Music-wise or just people-wise?
Both.
Well, hero is such a strong word, you know. The easy hero go-to guy these days would be the Barack Obama as a buzz term, you know, because all of a sudden, you know, I guess 5 years ago, not too many people had heard of Barack Obama, and all of a sudden now he's the president of the United States. He's the first black president. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he your hero? No, he isn't. Not mine. I think I look up to him as a leadership structure, and I think he's an excellent example. But as of looking up to him as a hero, I'm not so sure about that. History judges people by their actions, and we'll have to see. We'll have to see how history judges President Obama while he's in office to see what he actually does with the title. But right now, he's a good light. You know, he's setting a good example, and he's a good leader. But as for heroes, for me, man, that's a tough one. You know, we can go back into history and we can look at people like Dr. Martin Luther King, or musically we can look at I've always enjoyed Oscar Peterson. I've always enjoyed his music. I've always, you know, he's a fellow piano player, you know, just playing these blisteringly fast lines on the piano, and just, you know, I've always enjoyed that. And I got a chance to meet him and tell him that. And I actually sat in front of him and I told him, I said, "Mr. Peterson, you are my hero. You are my musical hero," and I actually got a chance to tell him that, and I really appreciate the opportunity to have been able to tell him that. but people-wise, outside of the music world, I don't know. Bros, you know. There's certainly people that I like to live up to. My dad, you know, my dad has always set a good example to me as of what a man should be like, you know, what a father should be like. You know, right or wrong in the things that in the things that he's ever done or said, he's my father. And the type of person that I am will be, you know, dependent upon the upbringing that I got from him. My mother, you know, I enjoy cooking. I got a lot of my cooking skills from my mother. You know, for different things, you know, it just depends. I look up to my parents for things like that, you know. My mom and dad, they've always been there for me. They still are. My band director, Mr. Drummond, he was a terrific force of, you know, of encouragement in teaching us music and leading us and pushing us into the right direction. As I said, we were on our way out of the band room when he pointed me toward the sign that led to my piano fellowship scholarship, which led me to go to college and of getting my college education. So I guess I have no one hero that, you know, that I just put the label on. I guess, as they say, it takes a village to raise a child. It's taken all of these people to raise me, so I guess they're all my heroes.
Excellent. Anthony, that's all I have. I appreciate you taking your time out, and continued success.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to me.
Absolutely.
It's truly an honor. I enjoy coming back to Grandview. I spoke with Mr. Watchery the other day and talked with the kids in the band, and I get excited to be able to share the joys and blessings that have come upon my life by music. So thank you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Enjoy the day, and I will send you a link to the interview when it's all posted and ready to go.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.